At Arizona State University, we've made online education better, smarter, and more personalized so you can go further in your aspiring field.
I decided to pursue medicine once I realized that ASU did have the online program for biological sciences. You're still required to learn the same curriculum. You're still being tested on the same content that anyone would be tested on in person. The comprehensiveness of the program prepared me so well for medical school.
Explore over 350 plus programs at asuonline.asu.edu.
With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made to last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Welcome to another episode of Five Aside. This one was so packed, guys, that we had to literally break it into two parts. Yep, you heard that right. But that actually means we're giving you double the banter, double the drama, and double the football therapy you did not know you needed. Anyway, in part one, I've got Daniel with me, and we even dragged a new guest into the madness. His name is Roger. We're talking all about the City versus Arsenal clash that probably shaved a few years of my life as an Arsenal fan. I'm sure all you Arsenal fans all over the world can also relate. Spoiler alert, we'll be arguing over what Arsenal needs to do to finally win the league. And then there will be a part two, which if you want to find out what that's about, you just have to keep listening. Click on the next episode. And trust me, guys, you do not want to miss it. Hey, guys, welcome to another episode of Five Aside. It's your man's Chidalu. Today I'm here with Daniel, and we have a special guest in the building, Roger. What's up, Roger?
What's good, y'all?
Yeah, you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, my name is Roger. I'm a diehard Arsenal fan. Anything Arsenal, I know. And also, I just love the game. So if you have any questions, if you have any arguments, I can counter them. So
I like that. I bet. Hey, let's get right to it.
Yeah.
It's been a fun week of football. Maybe not for mind you, but the phone. Oh right. No!
I thought that was
Last weekend was we all know the biggest game. You know, Man City versus Arsenal. That was a throwback. I think I've recovered because it took me a while to recover.
I wanted to actually. It's good that we're going right to that. I wanted to ask you guys, the two Arsenal fans. I see everybody talking about what happened, the style of play, Arsenal parking the bus. I don't see anybody though. I don't see anybody talking about Trossard. I don't see anybody saying anything bad about Trossard. And I just wanted to get insight on that. Why do you think everybody is going so easy on Trossard? Because if you ask me, he lets his team down. But for some reason, nobody's talking about that. So I'll leave the floor to you guys to tell me your thoughts on that.
Do you want to go first?
Yeah, I can go first. Mm-hmm. So when the red card happened, of course I was shocked, as all the fans were. But this is what I remember the commentator saying, and this is something that I agree with. Yes, the second foul was definitely a yellow card offense. You know, he put some pressure on the back, you know, but according to how the referee was managing the quote-unquote temperature of the game, you know, and the aggression. And it's a big game. So, of course, some tackles are going to be going in left and right. When he played that ball, or I guess when he played Bernardo Silva to the ground, he was playing to the temperature of the game, to the aggression of the game. And it's halftime. If anything, give the foul and then move on. Don't ruin such an important game by sending one of the key players off in a game where, for the first time in 10 years, Arsenal is coming to the Etihad Stadium and now they're leading, and you want to unbalance the game off a second yellow card after all the controversy that Arsenal just went through. I just think it's unnecessary, in my opinion. So I think he was just playing to the temperature of the game. You know, once you're a professional, there are things that you implicitly process and not, and that was one of those things that he probably just felt that he could get away with. So that's how I feel about it.
You know what? I 100% agree with that. I feel like in certain games, you can tweak the rules a bit just so that you don't ruin the game. Do you understand? Like, it's like, imagine if that was like a World Cup final. They wouldn't have given him the red. They wouldn't.
You remember 2 seasons ago, Man City versus Arsenal, Kovacic Gomez breaking Odegaard's leg.
Odegaard's.
Yeah, and he was like, the reason he didn't send him off was because he didn't want to ruin the spirit of the game.
Yes.
So if it's when it's Arsenal's turn, you can ruin the spirit.
was it the same referee? I forget.
Yeah, that ref doesn't like you guys. That ref.
The same referee.
Michael Oliver, right?
Yeah. He's
not a surprise.
Yeah, he doesn't like you guys. Yeah.
He's given Arsenal the most red cards in his career and the most yellow cards as well. and we've had in the list of Premier League teams, we're not even among the top in terms of fouls anyway, so which is weird.
That Michael Oliver, actually, they need to. It brings about like a serious problem in the league. The refereeing is very inconsistent, man. Like,
yeah, Premier League referees are interesting. I don't know. Hey, Daniel. Yeah, I can hear you.
Point out differences between, like, you can point out scenarios where they're giving different treatments to different players. So
different players and different teams as well.
Yeah, they are humans. Mm-hmm. I won't give them the benefit of doubt.
That's the thing.
There could be some implicit bias even if they don't know. They are human beings.
Yes.
We can get AI to start refing, which I'm all for. But let me actually answer my question, the question you asked about Trossard. Because initially, just like Roger, I felt it was a bit unnecessary because I didn't see him. Because later on, I learned that he got sent off for kicking out the ball.
Yes, I learned that too.
But at the time, I thought he got sent off for barging into
yes. The kick,
and I was enraged. I was with my girlfriend and she was pissing me off. That was the first time I think I've actually had like a little of transfer aggression. Because I was mad.
Mm.
And she kept saying, but he fouled him though. I was like, what do you mean he fouled him? She just saw Haaland
run into Saliba.
Yes, nothing happened. So what do you mean he fouled him? Like, what? Come on. But apparently he kicked away the ball. Then I was like, come on, Trossard, you should know better. Especially like what happened with Declan Rice. But then again, like rewatching it, the time where he blows the whistle and the time where this guy kicks out the ball, like, I think it was a half a second. So, because he says he didn't hear the whistle. And I mean, I could believe that, actually, because it happened so fast. So, I don't want to say maybe I think it was a silly thing for him to do, to kick out the ball, like, considering what we already went through with Declan Rice. But I can give him the benefit of doubt because it's also possible he might not have heard the whistle. So... And also, he kicks the ball in the direction of Martinelli. So, what if he actually didn't hear it? Was still playing on. And I mean, it's a contact sport. Even though I don't really agree with the badging into people like that, but hey, they let a lot of players get away with it. Like, he's big and strong. That guy should be stronger. You know, so it's because Trossard is small. That's you know, we are standing for smaller players.
Okay. Even touching on Haaland, though, I will say this. Or just the game in general. I enjoyed the shithousery, man. Like, I'm sick of footballers being all body. Man, you guys ain't friends. Like, come on, bro. You see this? I cannot wait for
the next one.
Arsenal. I know that, bro, boys are coming out for blood. Gabriel, especially, he might bloody up Haaland before the end of that game. I need it, bro. I love it. Like, this is what we grew up seeing. Yes, bro. There's a video of Gary Neville and Phil Neville in the tunnel. They didn't even smile at each other. Blood brothers, bro. Like, see, when we're here, this is not time to smile with each other. You know, when we go home, right? You guys can go home and text each other and be like, hey, man, sorry for being so crazy. But why are you on the pitch? Hey, man.
Yeah, I got I'd
love to see
touch-ins in Checo's head.
I thoroughly enjoyed that game. Thoroughly. And I won't lie, for the first time in a very long time, I was rooting for Arsenal to win. I wanted you guys to win so bad because, like, that's holding off City for 45 minutes. Yeah? Holding off Manchester City for 45 minutes with one man down. I don't think there's any other team
in the world that can do that.
No.
I cannot think of any other team. I cannot think of any other team in Europe that could do that. So, like, at first I was happy when you guys got the red card because I was like, okay, this is about to be a thrashing, right? But 20 minutes into the second half, I switched because I was like, bro, this is for you to even hold off 20 minutes alone.
Resiliency, man.
Bro, by the time you guys got to, when that goal went in, right, I was wearing my Man U jersey. I was at this bar. I was wearing my Man U jersey. So I couldn't look too down. Do you understand? Because I was surrounded by Man U fans that they would be wondering, hey, man, why do you look sad that City scored? But between me and you, I would ask not to win that game. Like, I feel like football owed that game to Arsenal, right? Also, the ref. Why did he add all that extra time?
I don't understand.
What was that about?
Oh, yeah.
And then...
it's about the time wasting. That's my explanation. Yeah, I don't want to believe that there's any bribery and corruption going on. Because if I believe that, I might struggle to watch...
Then the whole game is gone, you know?
Yeah.
There's been bribery in football since our father's days. Game not gone. The game is back. If there's bribery, the game is really back.
I don't want to believe that, you know? I would just assume that this that referee was just being, you know...
And Daniel, like you were saying, so for me, obviously I'm an Arsenal fan, but when the red card happened, I was more for the love of the game as a neutral. You know, if I had to take a neutral position, you ruin the game. Because here are two teams, and usually the past, I want to say maybe three meetings, maybe the past two meetings we've seen City, we've sort of had a more cautious approach. This time it's 50-50. The game is entertaining back and forth, end-to-end. We're actually playing to their level even more. We're leading.
But
that's
I don't know why. If you ask me, I don't know why you guys have been cautious to City. Well, I think you guys have respected City too much because you guys have been better than City from last season. From last season, you've been a better team than City, right?
Yes.
The football.
But the last game, especially with last year when they said, oh, Arsenal played for a tie, and then you see Rodri coming, oh, their mentality is to play for... Strategically, with how close the table was at the end of the season, it made sense to just take 1 point away, if anything. You know?
I understood the reason at the time, because... At that point, we could have gone ahead in the table if we had just beat Villa.
Exactly.
So I don't think we lost the league by City at all. We got 4 points from them. Come on, fam. And
that's the difference between a loss and a tie the entire season.
Okay, wait. So last season, you guys drew to City.
And beat them we won and we
you
won
drew,
and
you
we drew
City at home. You beat them at the Emirates, and then you drew to them at home.
Yes.
So that's what I'm saying, like, bro, and now you guys have drawn again. So, guy, like, you guys have been neck and neck with City.
One thing I would say, I think last season, like, with buying Declan Rice and everything, at least our first team, and luckily for us, last year we didn't get that many injuries. Our first team, I have complete faith in them to go neck and neck with City.
Yeah.
Like, with injuries, if we don't have any serious injuries. But even now, this season, we have more depth than we did the past two seasons. Because what really killed us that first two seasons ago is like Saliba's injury, this and that. Like we didn't have, we are bringing in this guy. What's his name again? The dude we sold.
The dude we sold?
Yeah, the defender. Like, weird players like that wouldn't make it to any top 10 team in Premier League.
Oh, well, we have Holding. You mean... Holding. He's not even playing for Crystal Palace.
Our depth was terrible. That's why, like, coming to, like, March, April, during the crunch time, everyone stayed dropping, like, flies. Like, Saliba... We still losing key players, and we couldn't keep up with City. But last season, we are quite...
You guys have depth, though. You guys have depth in defense.
We have defense.
I think that's exactly what Dalu was saying. We learned a lesson.
We didn't have that 2 seasons ago. Yeah. But
do you think do you have depth in midfield?
That's the problem. Now we have everyone fit. Normally we have depth, but like having this weird injuries, Merino and what's his name?
Odegaard.
Yeah, at the same time, it's weird. Like,
that's that something weird. That never happens. So this
Merino guy. Yeah. Just real quick, what profile of midfielder is he?
He seems like a Declan Rice to me. I wouldn't even lie because he's very. Mm-hmm.
So
what did you say, Roger?
I think. Well, okay. So like, he'll definitely put his foot in a tackle. Yeah. But for me, the way I've watched him, he's a more agile version of Xhaka, you know.
More agile, but still very
prone to tackles as well, you know. And you know how Arteta is about duels. The man can win a header. Apparently, top one or I don't even know, and just winning headers in Europe. He's big too, you know.
So I think he can.
And is he technical?
He's technical and he's 6'3". Yes.
He's quite
technical. Okay, so that's good. So that means they bought him pretty much to pair Declan Rice in the double.
Yes. Or put Declan Rice to the 6 and move into an 8.
I think I'd rather see Moreno at the 8, to be honest. I love Declan Rice at the 6 the most, in my opinion.
Yeah,
as a lone six,
yeah. Depending on who you play, but I prefer Declan Rice being the deep line playmaker instead of at the sides. It also depends on the game because there's been some games he's played more of that advanced eight box to box and he's done well. But also in the beginning of the season, Dalu, you probably remember. He was playing a little higher and he wasn't really effective, you know. Yeah. So,
well, doesn't Rice always play a little higher when Partey
plays? Yes, exactly.
Yeah, he does.
To be fair, that's also just a new thing. It's only 3, 4, 5 games into the season. You know, last season we tried different tactics in the beginning and they weren't really working out. And then we came back from Dubai scoring 5 goals a game. So it might be the same thing with even Rice playing a more advanced position. It's just, it takes some time.
He's good as an eight.
Oh, Roger. Good. Roger, that's good that we're talking about this. I just have one question for you, Roger. What is your, with every player fit, what is your ideal midfield for Arsenal?
What a question. What a question.
I'll go with personal Roger answer.
You answer first.
I'll go with Rice, Merino, Odegaard. From why I hear about Merino. I think Partey at his best will probably play at
least. That's what I'm saying. With no injuries.
Partey is not injured, but he's old. And he's lost
the legs aren't... You can see the first step isn't where it used to be.
Yeah, so I'll go with Rice, Merino, and Odegaard for sure.
It's hard for me to say no to my Ghanaian brother like that, but you're right. And whenever Partey does anything, Partey, I'll be yelling in my room, bro. But
man, first of all, Partey is like 30 years old, but
I know it's relative, I guess.
But he was very good against City.
30, but the way he moves is very languid. I don't know.
I love him. I love Partey. I'm just like, I would take him with my team any day, bro. I'm so serious. Like, if I could swap Partey for Casemiro, I'd do it in a
who party. Wouldn't?
Right?
But you know what, though? Partey was very good against Man City, but he was awful against Atlanta. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know.
I the thing for me, I don't want that recency bias of Moreno coming in to cloud me, because I honestly haven't watched any Real Sociedad games. I know he scored the win, the tying goal in Euro. Yeah. But I also, the thing is, I trust Arteta. He wouldn't go after someone like this if he didn't have the end result. And the profile seems to be the exact profile we were missing last season. You know, especially to unlock that left-hand side with, Martinelli, since Xhaka left, has not been the same, you know? So
we're thinking... Good! I love these kind of things. Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking Moreno will unlock that. So I just think Moreno has a box-to-box threat, and then having Havertz play that nine, I think it'll probably all come together when Moreno comes into the team.
Yeah, that's the hope. I hope to unlock. That was a good point. Unlock Martinelli, because I miss that boy, man. Yeah, I don't know if Rice has that range of passing to like be able to combine well with Martinelli on the left. What I like about Rice is how he has this long stride. So when he's bombing forward from that eighth position, it does kind of peg teams back a lot, which is why I see the light in there. So what he lacks in the passing, he makes up with his long busting runs.
Yes.
Yeah. But Merino might be a more Xhaka-esque player. Mm-hmm. Might suit Nelly a little bit better.
Or a more mobile Xhaka, which is honestly my dream version of Xhaka, you know?
True. So maybe that's what Merino might add. We'll see. But I guess moving forward, though, like with that City game, I was sad at first, but eventually I don't think it's a bad draw. That was a pretty good result at the end of the day. If you had given me a draw.
Holding City to 45 minutes, one man down, there's nobody that would look at that as a bad draw. The only reason why there is kind of sadness involved is because it was at the last minute. If City scored in the 65th minute and you guys held them to like 2-2 to the end of the game, that would be the best performance of the fucking season, you know. But it's because it came with the last kick of the game. The last kick.
A point.
If I was an Arsenal fan, I would have lost it.
I lost it. I don't think I've never been that sad since Yakubu missed empty post versus, I think, Greece in the World Cup. I don't think I've ever been that sad about football again. But anyway, what infuriated me after Shaw was all the like allegations of defensive football and whatnot. Like,
I don't understand anyone with a footballing brain. What would you do?
Imagine Jose Mourinho in that kind of situation is to bring in two extra centre backs.
Bring in Mikel and somebody else. Oh my God, but wait, though, why is even more annoying was that, like, if you watch the full game, the first half, maybe, I don't know what would have happened if Manchester never scored us. I'll be honest. Maybe that was the plan. I don't know, but who even cares? But when they scored us, we came out. We literally matched them neck for neck. Even when we scored, when we went a goal ahead, 2-1, we are still pushing. I even think that might have led to maybe why Trossard kind of lost it for a second. I think everybody was so gingered because we scored the second goal. We kept pegging them back. Imagine 2-1 and we are still pegging them back. Maybe that ginger like that made him go and, you know, running to Bernardo Silva. He was trying to attack them. Like, I think I should figure out how to like rein them in sometimes though, because sometimes it feels like we seem so like ready to go. So maybe there might be something that could cost us points. We need to
work out.
Atata himself on the side now, you can see his blood is very hot. Like, he's ready to go. And I think his team takes up that persona as well. It's a good thing, but it could also work against us because the disciplinary issues are a little bit.
But that's the thing. If you remember right before Arteta came in, and then the early days of Arteta 2019, 2020, how many red cards were we getting? Game after game. It was so normal.
That's true,
I think the discipline has definitely gotten better. We've just been unlucky in the last two games with Rice rolling the ball away and then this bullshit call too. I was just watching it back right now. I don't understand.
We tend to get very ridiculous calls, actually. You know?
So I honestly, I don't think discipline is a problem. And I honestly, I like if the players are taking after the same, you know, passion and heart that Arteta is displaying. I have no problem with that.
I think they definitely are. Because, you know, bro, even Saka, our good boy, is
like
more bold now.
he's the uncle now, man. You see him yesterday with Wanyeri and Miles Lewis Skelly, man. He's the old man now.
That Wanyeri, bro.
That's another thing.
Look out for that, bro.
That guy is good. This is the pass that Lewis Skelly gave to
Sterling.
Yeah, I'm like, real Sterling is looking sharp. Oh my goodness,
guys. I think I have another question for you guys again, both Roger and Chido.
Yeah.
Your ideal Arsenal front line with everybody fit.
That's a tough one. I have a soft spot for Nelly, but he's been disappointing me.
It really depends on
that. That would be a joke if you put in Nelly. Right now, you can't even put
I'll go with Sterling, Havertz, and Saka. Easy.
I don't
know.
My bad.
Why everyone who is not an Arsenal fan sleeps on Havertz? You don't understand what he does for us.
Wait, no, Havertz. Kai, Havertz.
No. What does he do except
Oh my god.
You know this guy scored 13 Premier League goals last season.
No
penalties.
He does not stop. He does not stop running. He never stops running.
Let me tell you one thing I heard one time.
Once you talk about a footballer, and people tell you his best attribute is walk rate, running. You know that nigga cannot play.
Listen,
this is a fucking workhorse. This is a workhorse. Conor Gallagher at nine. At the nine. Come on.
Yo, and Daniel, then look how Daniel, hard Atletico Madrid fought to get him.
Daniel, okay. Daniel, leave out all the workhorse and everything. This guy is a unit. He's 6'4". Yeah. He's big. He literally harasses defenders. Someone that can harass Van Dijk. No, right. He's harassed Van Dijk. And he's still...
No,
His
physicality is very impressive. No,
Daniel,
right?
He scored 13 Premier League goals, not always playing as a center forward. Yeah. That's very, we're literally hyping up this Solanke and Co for doing that. Like, and they've been in Premier League for a while to end it as well.
How many goals did Solanke score last season?
Like,
how many Premier League?
Like 17, 18. But he always played as a center forward. Havertz didn't even always play as a center forward.
But Solanke was playing for what team? Bournemouth?
I'm just saying, right. Regardless though, how many Jesus has been in our team for how long? Has he done that?
Jesus is out for half the season. Okay, let's just Jesus does not have Havertz's availability. Jesus is never available. But I'm saying if you took that Solanke and you put him as Arsenal's nine, he will score way more goals than Havertz.
I don't know.
You think
I've seen Solanke at Tottenham. He's in a better team, right? He hardly impresses me, to be honest.
He did not have a preseason. Just give him his warming up. But I'm not here to defend. I'm not here to defend Solanke. I think he's decent. So I don't think he's great. But see, the point I'm making is, I love having players like Havertz because I think he's very. I like players that can play multiple positions. You can plug them in as a stopgap option. Like when Jesus is injured, you put Havertz up there. Mm-hmm. Right now, you guys are having an injury crisis in midfield. You can put Havertz in midfield.
Yeah.
But I don't think a player of Havertz quality should be starting in any of those positions for Arsenal. I don't think Havertz should be starting for Arsenal at all.
So why do you think he's very highly rated by a lot of great managers? Even Germany's manager now.
Germany's nine is full crook, bro. Full crook.
I mean, Havertz always plays. Okay. He starts and he scores very quite frequently.
That's what I'm saying. He starts because the alternative is full crook or
A lot of people are rating full crook last season.
Hey, never me, man. I was never one of those bets.
My point is that, like, let me say something, though. If you watch Havertz, you can clearly see this guy is probably a really smart footballer. His movements are always elite.
What is his best position? Let me ask
you. I think he should be center forward. I think he has a lot of potential. It's probably that his movement. Oh my goodness. He knows how to get chances.
Exactly.
He knows how to get chances. And see, I'm willing to bet if Havertz plays solely as a ninth for season, this guy's getting 20 Premier League goals. If he can score 13 for half a season, he definitely has potential to score 20 goals. He does have it in him if he actually plays it consistently. And he's still quite young, to be honest, 24, 25. When is Van Persie?
He's 25.
Yeah, like a lot of strikers even don't even blow up to their peak to like,
yeah, the prime, you know.
And someone that's scoring 13, can you know how hard it is to get 15 EPL goals? And it was just his first season. If I'm not getting like a Haaland one, maybe let's say maybe an Osimhen or the very best, I'm keeping him. I'm still keeping him.
I will say this: the one thing I can say about him that I can say is that he is his football IQ is pretty high.
Yeah.
I can say that. Yes, he does not. He seems to. My problem is like I don't know when I watch him. I think I think it's the eye test.
I think exactly. I don't he like has a very lazy, like a discount.
Yeah, he looks lazy.
The demeanor. It almost reminded me of Mesut Ozil.
I can't.
Yeah, Ozil.
Yeah, I need exactly perfect. No. Because for me, if someone like Havertz, if he was my 10, I think I would be fine with it. But I need my striker to be like a killer. Like I don't.
He looks flimsy sometimes. Even
he's a preference.
Yeah, he gets knocked off the ball very easily, and it annoys me. It does.
I'm with you, Daniel. Watching him,
he plays fine boy football.
He annoys me.
He plays fine boy football. Like, come on, I need you to be a killer.
He annoys me, but like, I'm judging him purely based on results. Like, watching him gets annoying at times. I'm not gonna lie, especially when we're not winning. But
yeah,
from what I've seen so far, statistically, we've been doing quite well. So I don't argue with the stats. We just keep
and
expecting that.
Yeah. Anyway, I think he's better as a center forward than in the midfield. And if you ask me,
also, I definitely prefer him. That
this is one thing I don't know if you guys said it. My phone died, so I had to. But it's not only watching Havertz and seeing what Havertz does. Is watching the space that opens up from his different runs, he unlocks our attack to another level beyond what you see on the stat sheet, because the runs
so
he makes
you...
opens up the defenders that he attracts to him, and the nature of his runs opens up runs for Saka, for Martinelli in behind, for Saka to have the 1v1 moments to just
take does that the way score. Better than
and Jesus. Those score goals more than anything. That if Havertz alone scored 30 goals by himself and the output didn't come from Martinelli and other players, you know, then we would say, oh, Saka isn't performing, oh, this. But what Havertz does beyond
that point, sheet,
it produces, we score so many goals.
I hear you. Yeah, but you see this point that you're making right now, which is a good point, because he actually makes the other players around him better. I am willing to argue that what you are saying right now, Jesus is even better at that. Bro, when I watch...
Let me...
Bro,
Jesus checks in way too much.
Jesus is the glue. I love... when I watch Jesus play, first of all, I watch him play and sometimes, and most of the time, he's the best player on the pitch. He just does not score.
This is good, but...
He is a fantastic bro.
Let me say something though.
Yeah, that's the only problem. But I'm saying, you're saying, okay, he helps to plug up this thing. He helps to facilitate. I'm saying, Jesus does that better than Havertz. It's just that maybe Havertz does that as well.
I disagree.
But then scores at a higher rate.
Shall I tell why I disagree a little bit? I think Jesus has his own qualities. I think he draws in defenders a different way. I think he can do what Havertz does. But first of all, he doesn't stay. He's not at his physical peak. He rarely stays fit. I think he's working on that.
Yeah, your best ability as a professional footballer is your availability.
And then when
availability
gets really injured, it takes him a while to actually get back to speed. I don't even think the Jesus that I saw his first few games for Arsenal, I haven't seen that again in a long while. I don't know what happened to him.
Yeah.
But
yeah, it's the repeated injuries. Like, it's the same thing that happens.
He has lots of injuries,
yeah, your body starts changing.
He's not. Do you see that run he made against Chelsea? I think it's his first game against Chelsea. I rarely see him have that kind of like acceleration anymore. I think he lost his acceleration low key. But Havertz is a unit. I think Havertz being that size.
He does not stop running. He does not stop moving.
Havertz being that size.
My own thing is, why have you guys not tried Jesus in that 10, in that 10 position? He can do it.
I don't think he has that poser. Like, he doesn't know how to calm down. I don't know. He's always quick. So I don't think he can do what...
Even the final pass, I don't know if Jesus would have that. He doesn't have the finishing ability.
Right now, Jesus
is a counter-attacking. He can make a pass in the counter.
I feel like right now, with Odegaard out, I would try Jesus and Havertz and then just have them alternate during the match. Like, just switch from the midfield to the... I think that would be...
He does that sometimes. Whenever they against Atlanta, that was the idea. Jesus played up front, Havertz was behind. They kept trying to.
I think Jesus, honestly, if he does not work well as a nine anymore because he has lost, I guess, some of his physical powers or whatever,
harass defenders as much as Havertz.
Jesus is such a he's so good technically that you can put him anywhere. He can play on the left wing. He can play on the right wing. I think you guys are blessed with players that can play like in your front line as well. People like Trossard. Trossard can play anywhere across the front line. You guys have players that can you can mix and match. Like your team is actually pretty. When you look at it, your team is pretty decent.
Roger, what do you say? What do you want to say, Roger?
Well, this is one thing I want to say. You know, so everything you're saying. We've tried it against lesser opponents, and it's worked, but it's not something that can consistently work. And also, yes, we get to watch every match every week, but Arteta is at the training ground, you know, day in, day out. You don't think they're trying them at the wings, you know? It's probably not working behind the scenes, you know? Because I would like to move Jesus out there too, but the games I've seen him play on the wing... He's been okay, and he. Why do you think we're bringing in Sterling to actually be his man instead of just having Jesus on the wing? You know.
Yeah, true. Because
I mean, I guess, but Jesus has like he played on the wing for City. Yeah. Like when he was not bad at all.
More fit, no.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
He needs to get.
And
depth is never. So depth is always a good thing, anyway. So.
Yeah. So I noticed that. I don't know who Chidalu, you gave us your own lineup. You said Sterling. Roger, would you have Sterling in your own front line?
I'll change that. See, that's disrespectful to Trossard. Trossard. Trossard, Havertz, Saka.
No.
I would have Trossard as the nine, if you ask me. I would have Sterling on the left, and I would have Saka. No need to even mention that because there's really nobody else. I would not have him at the right wing. But I think I would have Trossard as the nine. I think Trossard is a... I think I look at Trossard the way I look at Jota. I look at them the same way. The only problem with the same
both ambipedo, you know, has, can use both feet.
They like
can
like
use both feet, but then they both have the same problem. They miss easy chances and they score the hard ones. It's very weird. That ability where a very clear cut chance, Jota will throw it away. The same thing I feel with Trossard, but now chances out of nowhere. You see the goals come out of nowhere with those two guys. I really like Trossard.
I like Trossard coming in from the left and shooting on his right. I don't think he has the required movement to completely excel as a centre forward. We've given him starts as a centre forward. Barely made it.
It didn't work.
Yeah.
It didn't work. So, one thing I've learned over time is that shooting ability doesn't always equate to being a good centre forward.
To being a nine.
Yeah. Because he has... He's probably our best shooter. Like, his finishing ability is quite good.
Dude, he's a goal machine, bro.
Yeah, like, but I think he's better cutting to his right foot. I don't think he likes looking for space. That hustle he takes. But being a nine is not easy, Sha.
That's the thing, you know. He, like you're saying, he doesn't like looking for space. And Daniel, you say your front three would be Sterling, Trossard, and Saka. My one qualm with that, the size. You need size, honestly.
Wait, everybody tiny.
And it's too tiny. Think about it. City, when they were struggling to finish, quote-unquote, they had Sterling as a false nine, Sané, And yep. then Mahrez, and then who else was playing? I even forget, but they didn't have that size, you know?
I remember, I raised you.
Mm-hmm. I raised you Liverpool, Firmino, Salah, Mane, no size. Yeah.
I feel like yes. That's
no, true. They were quite good. They were quite dynamic. That was a very good front.
That they were just very dynamic. Firmino
was basically
we can't compare.
Firmino was basically Jesus or Havertz. His job wasn't really to score because he was very good with his back to goal. Yes, mm-hmm. Firmino is a good striker who just can't score. So his job is to Firmino.
His movement too.
Is not even a striker, bro. Firmino is a 10. Firmino is an attacking midfielder.
He's a false nine.
He
plays as a nine for
Liverpool. Well, he was playing as a 10 before he came to Liverpool, right? Liverpool is where they started playing him as a 9. Yeah. And after leaving Liverpool, he's back to playing as a 10 in
For Liverpool though, he played as a 9.
Yeah, he did.
He just created space for Salah and Mane to score goals and scored this thing. That was basically what he said.
And I like how you brought up Firmino here because the same thing Firmino is doing, Havertz is doing, but differently. There's probably less output in terms of the output will also come, but Havertz, in terms of winning headers, and he has that same work rate and those same runs, it's the same thing, except. We don't have Mane and Salah on the wings. No offense to my boys.
We have Saka.
We have Saka.
Saka is getting
Martinelli
better.
Is not.
But is Saka? He does not have that goal scoring cutting edge like all these guys. He's world class, no doubt. Saka
15 Premier League goals. Come on, that is disrespectful.
Bro, Salah scored 32 in his first season. Come on, man.
Salah's been improving with age, though. Salah scored, was not scoring this much at Saka's age. So Saka has been going up.
Okay. Yes. All right. Fair enough. I did not factor in Saka's age. How old is Saka again? Like 20?
23?
Okay, still a small boy. Okay, I give him that. But I don't know. There are certain kind of wingers, right? For me, like, they are the wingers like Mbappe, or you can't call him a winger anymore since he's playing as a striker. But Salah, Rashford, wingers who look to score first, right? Who look like their primary destiny is scoring, right? Inside forwards, right?
Yeah, that's what Saka is, dude.
But
Saka creates a lot.
He scores like Salah. That's what Salah does. They're actually quite similar watching them play. They dribble similar the same way. They try to get into cutting through their leg.
I think Saka is more aesthetically pleasing than Salah to watch. Like dribbling.
I think Salah is older now. Because I used to enjoy watching Salah when I was younger.
Salah has always played with muscle though.
He had the critical close control ability that people keep forgetting.
Yeah, he does. But it has always looked like stiff. It always looks like he's using force to do it. Saka is more smooth. It's more finesse. It looks smoother.
I don't know. For me personally, Salah is the more technical player without a doubt. I will have to say that Salah. Where Saka, where he actually excels, is ball retention.
Yeah, it's boring.
When we don't play with Saka in the starting lineup, we can now. When we ping the ball to Saka, no matter who is on him, no matter what speed the ball is coming, high, low, the boy will hold the ball with his life. The ball, he does not lose the ball. And that is what's great about Saka.
So much passion.
I'm saying, bro, the thing about Saka, because honestly, not to say that I wasn't the biggest Saka fan when he was coming through the ranks, but I'm like, what is he actually doing? And then the more I watch and I'm watching, every time we play, every time we attack, if there's any sort of pressure, get the ball to Saka, it's relieved. And when you're playing a full football game, that is the most important thing for your team, to relieve that pressure and everyone just even catch an extra breath to refresh themselves, to retain their positions, you know? Mm-hmm. And yes, he's not scoring the 32 goals that Salah might have scored in his first season, but he's doing half of that with twice the assists and more ball retention.
Good point. But also, for the fact he's been improving every season, his numbers have improved every season. I wouldn't even put that above him. I wouldn't put 20 goals above him.
Oh, he's coming out with that too.
Yeah, especially if he takes penalties. And that's another thing I want to bring up about Havertz. I don't even think Havertz is purely a Firmino. I think Havertz will score goals as well. He will score those headers. Firmino won't score. This guy scored a couple of winning headers, winning goals for us in 1-0 wins for last season. Never forget that. Those headers.
They won me over.
Those are striker finishes. I see Havertz being a typical nine. Like, he has the body for it. He can head. He has a movement. He has everything. I wouldn't put him in the same class category as Jesus or Firmino.
I agree. I think I agree when it comes to like his physical distinct. Anyway, if there have been sluggish players that have played for my club, Bebatov looked extremely sluggish, but we all know what going with that. Yeah. So, you know, my own thing is that I think if you ask me, I never want to see Havertz in the midfield again.
But you know why they play Havertz in midfield? Actually, we should move on from it. He's not an Arsenal. But Havertz in midfield, with the injuries we have, I don't see who else. I know Arteta likes having midfield as being tall and big. So we need that for like defense. So if you're playing City away, I'm sure you don't want to put Trossard or Jesus in midfield. It has to be Havertz.
If I'm playing City away, I would play Rice and Partey, man. Just block everybody.
Rice, Partey, Havertz. If you play Partey and Jorginho, two of them, two people who can't move about, two are very old, they'll run you ragged.
That is the most scary. I hate that pivot. I think we've done that once or twice.
They'll run to the ground.
They cannot move. They cannot turn in time.
Yeah,
Jorginho needs to work on his coaching badges, man. He needs to go and start coaching.
Someone said, "Boy, the difference between Partey and Jorginho is that Jorginho knows his legs are gone. Partey doesn't know that yet."
Partey sometimes he lunges into things. I'm like, you're not getting there. Why are you even trying?
Anyway, dude.
Are we talking about United or what's happening here?
Oh, actually, I know we had a debate, Daniel, earlier on about like having a striker and no striker, whatnot. So basically, Daniel feels like, actually, Daniel, I won't speak for you. What did you think? What do you think? Because I know where my stance was that if we can get like a world class striker, that would be nice. But I still think my team is good enough to challenge, regardless.
Let me hear Roger's thoughts on this, and then I'll give mine. Yeah, just hold on.
Mm-hmm. What's the question?
So, I know we had a debate, I think it was a couple of days ago, where I felt that like a striker to me is not a need. I think if you can get a world-class striker, that would be beautiful, that would improve us. But as we are, as Arsenal is right now, I think we can definitely take on City for the league. If we don't win it, we will close. But I think we are more than good enough.
And I, of course, I agree with you. But if you look at the last two seasons, we scored more goals last season than City. And then we conceded less goals than them also. So goal scoring is not the problem, you know? And it really hasn't been, especially
we haven't just scoring more goals. We've scored more goals than we've ever scored.
Ever scored.
We and the rest.
You see? And then that's also accounting for the fact that Martinelli did not even do anything last year and we still scored the most. So that's why I also brought up Moreno earlier about unlocking Martinelli. That's why necessarily you don't even need a striker if you can bring in a midfielder to unlock one of your forwards that hasn't been.
If we can bring in Musiala or Florian Wirtz, bro, I don't fucking need no Osimhen.
That's what I'm saying. The thing is, with Arsenal, with Haaland, yes, he's scoring 40 goals. But why do you not just split 10-10-10 goals amongst four players? And that is what we're doing.
All right, guys. Yes. I went to the order for some food real quick. But see what I'm saying here about this thing. Roger, please give me your thoughts. Because me and the host have gone back and forth on this so many times. So believe me, we've had this argument like four different times. I believe that I think Arsenal, when it comes to football right now, I think Arsenal is playing the best football in the league. I'm not too proud to admit that. But maybe I'm old-fashioned, I have always believed that every good team, every team that achieves greatness has to have a primary goal scorer, right? And when I mean primary goal scorer, it doesn't have to be a nine. It doesn't have to be a nine.
Okay, I mean,
Real Madrid's primary goal scorer was Cristiano Ronaldo. City's primary goal scorer is Erling Haaland. Like, and when I say primary goal scorer, it's somebody whose goals are so far ahead of everybody else's. Do you understand? That's your primary goal scorer, right? Somebody like Marcus Rashford 2 seasons ago scored 30 goals for Manchester United. I think the next person scored less than 20. That's a primary goal scorer. I believe that because I believe that in times of problems, in times where the game is hot, in times of struggle, you look to your primary goal scorer to bring you goals. That's what I believe. I believe, like, if a team does not have a primary goal scorer, then it is, I don't really know how far they can go. That's how I believe. So right now with Arsenal, right? You guys created the most chances in the league last season, if I'm correct, right?
Either us or City, but it was one of the two.
Okay, yes. I personally believe that with a striker, an elite striker, an elite nine, I personally believe you guys would have won the league last season because the team you have right now, if you bring in an elite nine like Gyökeres, Isak, people that will give you 25 goals in the season, in the league, instead of Havertz's 13.
Isak,
I believe you need that to go to the next level.
Huh? We are projecting when it comes to Isak. He's yet to do that. I believe he can, but he hasn't done that yet.
Yeah, and he's not available. Isak gets injured every
day. If we buy Isak, we'll lose that league.
I don't want Isak because of that.
Okay. Well, not Isak. There's so many.
Where? Okay. Let me say something else.
Okay, hold on.
Gyökeres.
Hold on. Gyökeres. He's doing what? Let me just mention center forwards that you guys can
No, let me
for.
Just
You guys can go for
Okay. Go yeah. on.
You guys can go for Gyökeres. You guys can go for John Duran.
I
like them, but these are hopeful. These are not proven though. This is not Haaland. This is not
okay. Okay, so we're saying proven goal scorers.
Yeah.
Just give me a sec. What about Vlahovic?
We know them. We know Harry Kane. We know Haaland. Who else?
Harry Kane is beyond
the Lewandowski. Bro, at this point, at this current football pool, there's not a lot of proven goal scorers. So, Gyökeres is basically doing what Nunes was doing before he joined Liverpool. I see what Nunes is doing right now. He's good, but he's still adapting.
Nunez has too many. He has too many flaws.
The numbers Gyökeres is putting up—that's what Nunez was doing in the league right now. I mean, Gyökeres probably do a bit more, but like, Gyökeres is still a young talent, and he cost like over 100 million. That's a risk.
Too big of a risk. We're not gonna do that after what we did with Pepe. I know.
But I mean, I like Gyökeres though. If you can get him, that's fine. But what I was gonna say is that about having like a primary.
You guys should have gotten Tony, bro.
Who, Tony?
No,
I will not.
That would not have elevated Havertz. Us.
I'm not picking Tony over Havertz, please.
Yeah, I agree.
Are you serious?
No. What is even 13, 12 goals? I'm telling you that someone is scoring the same goals Tony scoring in his league.
Hey, man, but Tony scored those goals in Brentford, though. Havertz scored those goals
without penalties. That means Havertz was a penalty taker. Niggas getting 20 goals in the Premier League.
Alright, that's fair. I can't deny that.
He's not our set piece taker anyway, and he's still getting like 13 non-penalty goals. How many goals did Palmer score? He scored more goals than Palmer. Non-penalty. So, bro. See, and that's just his first thing. But regardless of that, if you can get me someone like Gyökeres, I wouldn't mind, but like, that's one that is very, probably very hard to get.
Who would be your ideal nine, though, for you?
I like
that. Ideal and realistic.
Oh.
I like your parents. What do you mean, from the market or like ideal from any team?
I'm talking about if you guys had, if I gave you $100 million and I told you go to the market in January and get a striker, who would you get?
And this is why we don't have one, because I don't know. I honestly don't know.
I'll use that money and buy Musiala.
Exactly. I'm not buying a striker. Because, Daniel, I understand you're saying the old-fashioned.
You buy Musiala and you would play him where?
Eh?
I understand the old-fashioned.
You'd play him where?
I'll take out Martinelli. Or...
Ooh, I agree.
I'll buy Florian Wirtz.
I think, do you think Musiala could play with Odegaard?
Yeah.
In the midfield?
That's a good question. Maybe. We'll try it. He's too big of a talent to let go.
If you did that, Rice would have to be very disciplined.
I think Musiala can play with
Rice is the most disciplined player you're going to meet.
Yeah. Right.
I'm just saying, like, he would have to be more disciplined because them two men don't give a lot of defensive cover.
Right?
Odegaard
does not stop running.
Odegaard is a defensive warrior. That guy's a weird...
It's kind of
crazy. I mean, he'll be more defensive because Odegaard, who would you move to the eight between two of them? Who would play the eight between Musiala and Odegaard?
But Musiala doesn't play the eight.
I'll put Musiala up front.
Exactly. So Musiala will have to be the 10.
Or he could be a winger.
He can drift.
He play him on the left, yeah.
He could drift and create.
Okay, but I think Musiala's ability to find that dribbling ability to find space. Yeah. Kai, I love it in the midfield, man. But I hear you, he can play on the left.
I mean, he can drift in. And,
would that work in the prem? Is that a crazy thing to ask?
Man, if Doku was splitting guys in the prem, you don't think Musiala can do it?
That's true. But
if Saint-Maximin was dribbling everybody, you don't think Musiala can do it?
So why can't? So your argument is for him to do it like what, as a 10 in midfield? If you're naming Saint-Maximin and Doku, those they were playing on the wing.
I think
because modern football, if you watch it, modern football, and it's so unfortunate because I missed it. But modern football, they are not playing through the midfield anymore. At least not in the Premier League, from what I've seen. Everything is the win.
I think I look at Musiala as a future Ballon d'Or winner. I really rate 100%. Him. So I think that's why I believe. I don't know. I just have a lot of faith in the boy. Like, I believe like he could actually do it.
No, I mean, my point is that he can start from the left and dribble into the middle. No one is stopping him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah.
Anyway, I understand having the primary goal scorer, but I think that can be... Saka is usually amongst our top scorers anyway, so it can be him. And the way we play, we create loads of chances for our wingers. So I definitely see Saka becoming like... Saka will always score a lot of goals for us, for sure. So, and the rest always impute players. Like, as long as we are scoring a lot of goals, I don't have any issues. Because I remember back in the days, like, Arsenal used to be accused of, like, missing chances a lot. Back in, like, Aubameyang days. Like, he was caught.
Nah, that's who would have been your nine.
I don't agree, because when he was there, I think he hogged up all the goals. And, like, we're not scoring a lot, but he was scoring a lot.
Yes.
He was scoring a lot, but our team wasn't scoring a lot. So, right.
I love Aubameyang.
And also, like,
I love it,
he wasn't getting the best out of, like, the wingers.
Yeah, Aubameyang used to technically he was not great. He used to miss a lot of he used to mess up football a lot, if you ask me. But so,
he's a goal scorer.
His link-up play was not great.
He's a goal scorer.
His link-up play was not great, you know? But man, that goal scoring prowess.
At the end of the day, this is not a cup competition, this is a league. It's about who wins the most games at the end of the day. Man City won the league the season beforehand and came in without having a primary goal scorer. Like, they all share it around. And guess what? I think that's when they scored their most ever goals, to be fair. I understand, like, in the biggest games, like against, like, Madrid and the rest. That's why I don't feel like he was more crucial for them in the Champions League than the league. They can get rid of Haaland. They were without Haaland for 3 months, and they won all their games. to be honest. So at the end of this, about winning games and scoring your goals. If you have a lot of game winners in the pitch at the same time, somebody will score the goal. If it's not Trossard, Isaka, is Foden, or any Gundogan, anybody else.
And the thing about not having the primary goal scorer also makes you less predictable in terms of who you're trying to get that output from. And that's one thing I like about the way Arsenal have been evolved to play. Mm-hmm. I honestly never know who is scoring. I don't know if you guys play fantasy, but besides Saka, I'm not putting any attacker from the Arsenal team because I don't know who's actually getting the goal any day.
That's true.
You know, and that's good for playing opponents. And the question about the front three, I never even gave my answer.
Yeah, that's
true. But to be honest with you, it would definitely, Saka is a mainstay. Then I think I would go Martinelli, then Havertz, which is honestly what we've been consistently doing, just because it depends on who you're playing. And that's another thing I've loved about what Arteta has done. We play differently depending on what opponent. Different players start depending on what opponent. You know, it's not always who's the best player or who's in form or who's the best at their position. It's literally who can play well for the dynamics of the team to counteract whatever the other team is also doing, you know?
I agree 100%. It looks like we lost Daniel, actually.
Yeah, I'm seeing that.
It's like, what is it? Ah, and I was about to try to get us to move on to Manchester United.
Yes, I'm interesting to get his thoughts on that.
And that's a wrap for part one. Guys, big shout out to Roger for an amazing debut with us. And Daniel, of course, as usual, for his valuable insights. I know we lost him at the end, but we'll definitely have him back for the part two. Which, if you thought this was fun, just wait till we hear what we have cooked up for you for that one. All right, guys. Yeah.